This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch.
With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination.
And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download The Fan app.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch.
With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination.
And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
93.7 FM.
Not much of a gambler, but pretty entertaining is that Bruno Mars. Chuck and Chernoff on The Fan. As the story goes, he's apparently in the hole for about $50 million to the MGM. I don't know how you could be that bad of a gambler.
What's his game?
His game is losing. I don't know. His game is, you shouldn't be gambling.
Setting money on fire.
They put a little phone book in the seat. He plays blackjack, and I don't know. I don't know what goes wrong for Bruno, but
if you gave him $20 bills, I bet he couldn't burn $50 million, like literally go through $50 million. If you had to keep throwing 20s,
It's Brewster's Millions, and he found a way to do it, is the rumor. Anyway, Chuck and Chernoff are on The Fan. Happy Wednesday. We wish this was Braves opening day eve. We do. But baseball's dumb. Philadelphia weather's dumb. John Kincaid's dumb. The Phillies are dumb. And they have banged the game for tomorrow, meaning opening day for the Braves will happen Friday at 3:05. All the same preparations, including having your app ready, download it, and be able to tap that app on Friday to listen while you're at work to Braves opening day with Spencer Strider on the mound against Zach Wheeler. Capiche? Our 4 o'clock hour is presented by Entry Point Doors and Windows, Atlanta's local expert for entry doors and windows. They're Atlanta's best for a reason. Go to entrypointatlanta.com for a free estimate. Chuck's got a college football today we can look forward to. Tease us.
One Georgia rival is very confident about his next QB. Most of us will wait on the actual results.
All right, I want to talk about a Kirby Smart decision that I have a lot of issues with. I want to talk about a move the Falcons have to make after our top story. The Mets are introducing something called the Cookie Egg Roll, which will be sold at all home games at Citi Field to the 10 or 12,000 people who make it out for the games. The Cookie Egg Roll will consist of a rainbow cookie, raspberry jam, and chocolate syrup rolled and fried in an egg roll wrapper. Now, the Mets did put out a press release announcing the new item. They said, quote, "We know our team is mid on the field, mostly trash, but our food ain't that bad," unquote. That's your top story.
The Mets didn't put that statement out.
It looked like, in the story I saw, it looked like quotes. I can't,
here is
can't
why
confirm
this,
that.
This is a winner. Mm-hmm. Unlike the team, zing, if you are looking at like an Oreo and you want, what's a rainbow cookie? They have a stacked three cookie. It's like a three stack Oreo that you then put the raspberry jam around and a little chocolate syrup. We got to make sure that stays in place. So then you put the wonton, you deep fry it.
This is very chimichanga.
Sounds wonderful.
Yeah, this is very chimichanga.
Like a burrito is a good start. You know, yeah. It's even better than a burrito. Well, deep frying it like you do anything. What's better than cake? Deep fry the cake. It turns into a donut.
But that's what I'm saying about the chimichanga, the outside deep fried.
Like I'm saying, everything becomes better when you fry it.
I feel like this is stealing from the chimichanga. And again, I think we're just doing too much. And just in general, in food and sport.
We brought this up with
too
Derrick
much.
Henry and the crab? Egg rolls?
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
We're in a golden age of egg rolls. What we're doing with the Southwest variety,
sure.
There's a breakfast egg roll.
I like a good egg roll. I just feel like we're in
Buffalo
general,
chicken egg rolls.
I feel like we're trying to get too creative. A little too much. That's just my opinion. So I saw a picture of Nick and Chris today, the Cellini and Domino show, which you hear 11 to 2 weekdays here on The Fan. They were in Athens, just like the locker room, 6 to 10, the Buck Belue show.
So Big Nick and Jersey Boy.
There's a picture of Big Nick and Jersey Boy with Kirby Smart between them. Kirby's wearing a pair of boat shoes. I don't think he's wearing the no-show socks, which is a very, very risky decision because every dude on the planet's feet are going to sweat. The smell of shoes without the socks, you got. If you're going to do the boat shoes, you can find the no-shows, right, that at least will give you the protection from the sweat and the smell. And again, I might be wrong. Maybe Kirby is wearing them. I don't see them. I think he's wearing no socks, and that's a smelly game to play.
His wife, I'm sure, has put them out.
Yeah.
But he just didn't.
Do you like your feet being naked in those
shoes?
Neither do I.
No, they sweat. And they, I'm like, yeah.
They rub. They sweat. They get the back of the heel
every
thing.
Every step, it's like chafe, yeah. Chafe, just chafe.
Somebody invented those no-show socks, and it's a game changer. It really is. So that surprised me, top to bottom. Before we get a CFT, Falcons head coach Raheem Morris was at league meetings yesterday with the rest of the NFL talking to the media, and he talked about the Falcons needing pass rush. Water is wet, folks. Like, he acknowledged, yes, we need more pass rush. Not that Jadeveon Clowney was going to solve that much, because I think Clowney really benefited from an uber-talented Raven defense a year ago. But Clowney would have been an upgrade over whatever the Falcons had. Problem is, I think Clowney wanted to go home. I think he wanted to go play near his home base in Rock Hill, South Carolina. But I've got the move that it just makes too much sense. There's no counter to this. The Falcons are not going to find answers in the free agent market at this point. So it's either the trade market or the draft. And the draft is a flip of a coin, especially with rookie pass rushers. Philadelphia Eagles beat writer wrote that Hassan Reddick looks like he could be had. This is from Elliot Shore Parks. Hassan Reddick could be had for a third round pick or later. Now, there was some dumb reporting earlier that the Eagles were trying to get a first round pick for Reddick. Dumb. He's got 1 year left
on his
deal.
I was about to say, what's the money?
Well, whatever the money is, it's not even huge money. It's just 1 year left on a deal. You're not getting a first round pick. You're not getting a second round pick. It was almost dumber than people thinking Justin Fields would return a first round pick.
Third round pick for the right person.
So here's what you got to do. When you make the deal for Reddick, you got to give him a new deal.
There you go.
That's part of the deal. Okay. And I don't know what those dollars look like, but if you're the Falcons and you could give up a fourth, you do it, no-brainer. Even if it's a third, the Falcons have 2 third-round picks. Hassan Reddick's last 4 years, with the Eagles, he had 12.5 sacks. With the Eagles, he had 16 sacks. With Carolina, he had 11 sacks. And with Arizona, he had 11 sacks. This isn't like a product of the system. He's been in 3 different systems, and all this dude does is hunt down quarterbacks. No-brainer if you're the Falcons, and the deal was on the table. Now, maybe the Eagles want to stretch this out till draft night. There's no reason for them to trade him now in their mind. They might say, let's do a draft night. Maybe somebody will be a little antsy, whatever the deal is. If you're the Falcons, you make this move for Reddick. Fourth rounder, no-brainer. Third rounder, I do. Then you draft your Dallas Turner, your Jared Verse, your Latu, and at least you have something of an answer on the edges with Reddick and with whoever the draft pick is. Right now, I don't know what the answers are. If somebody else gets Reddick for this same deal and it's because the Falcons don't want to re-up him and do money, that's going to bother me because I don't need them being judicious about the salary cap in this little window with Cousins.
No, or the developmental potential of a mid-round pick, even potentially a day 3 pick. So what that may develop into down the road, I'll put it this way. Even if it is one season, if you were to get, I don't know, 8 sacks in the career of a fourth or fifth rounder, you might look at it and go, yeah, what else do I get? In the case of if they all came in one season and the context of what you just went in for the quarterback, yeah, that's a deal. And the ability to re-sign him and keep him here. The compensation to bring him in is only based on the fact that there's a year left there. If you also add, I don't know, 2, 3, 4, whatever it is here, good for the Falcons.
So what you're talking about, like in the draft, that's why it was always a weird conversation on Vic Beasley. Because in the time Vic was here, he mostly stunk, but he had one great year. And in that great year, the defense just
didn't
go
to the Super Bowl without them
to support the historic offense. But most times, you're not getting Joey Bosa's rookie year, right? Most times, you're not. Most times, you're getting a kid who's learning his way, and if he can sack the quarterback 4.5 times and he can build some consistent pressure, you'll take it. You know what Hassan Reddick is? He's a grown man. Grown men sack quarterbacks. Grown men in that league have moves and counter moves, and they know how to get the quarterback. Hassan at this point has one more guaranteed year this year for the Eagles at a base salary of $14 million. I don't know what the cap hit is $21 million, so they would assume some of that, and then the rest of the years are all dummy years, so you'd have to give them a new deal or assume this contract, which I don't think anybody would do. Figure it out. You get this. I can't come up with many other answers. Carl Lawson's a free agent. Emmanuel Ogba is a free agent. Like, they're just the well is run dry on this. That's an awful place for the Falcons to be.
Summary judgment from Matt Chernoff.
Am I wrong, though?
No, not now.
I mean,
Lawson's been a
he's been fine.
He's had a good career.
3 years ago, he got hurt, though. He's never been the same.
Yep.
So the bottom line, though, and I keep coming back to this, is you went big on Cousins for a reason. You can't now give me the line that Raheem gave me today of, well, the salary cap's a factor. No, it's not. The salary cap is a suggestion. The salary cap has always been a suggestion. It was only a suggestion when the Falcons started paying guys left and right during the Matt Ryan era because they thought they were trying to take advantage and squeeze everything out of a Super Bowl core. Until they, and again, I think they want to spend. I just think they've been the team on the outside. Like, I think they wanted Danielle Hunter. He picked somebody else. I think they probably wanted a couple of other pieces. They wanted Montez Sweat a year ago in the trade deadline. And the Bears ended up making, I guess, a better deal with Washington, and they couldn't get that done. So we'll see what they do. But, again, the market ain't exactly overloaded with pieces right now. Reminder that while the Braves have been banged for tomorrow, they will be opening Friday, 3:05 in Philly. You can stay connected to all your baseball action, the latest news, all your favorite fan shows like Cellini and Domino and The Locker Room and The Buck Belue Show, who are live in Athens. You can hear all their interviews up on the 680 The Fan mobile app. It's all brought to you by Beaver Direct.
I love the Beaver.
Beaver Direct is the fastest and easiest way to shop online for your next vehicle. Visit BeaverToyotaOfComing.com to see what
wow
really means. You can download the Fan app now in the Apple app and Google Play stores.
Chuck Oliver's College Football Today.
Got the beta king.
Presented by Roof It Forward. When your roof needs to be repaired or replaced, call the roofing company that supports Cam Sunshine. Together, we can roof it forward.
Said one Georgia rival's very confident about its next QB, South Carolina. And when I say that most of us will wait on the actual results, it's been a decade of weirdness and underachieving and surprise and whatever else at quarterback there. And if you go back to just before that, that was the one East Division championship and then 3 years of 11 wins and Connor Shaw, who's about the most responsible quarterback you'd ever have. And then there was this forgotten season, the lost season, the quarterback that time forgot. Dylan Thompson had one season as QB at South Carolina, and he was really good. Unbelievably productive, and it was kind of like he was an in-state kid that was, well, not as heralded as maybe some other guys, but we can get him, and it's a good, and maybe, and then he hung around and maybe turned into a really, really good season. Then the next couple of years happen, and I'm going to give you the quarterbacks who started, played in the program, scholarship, all of this over a two-season run following what had been an outstanding window for South Carolina quarterbacks. And we kept hearing, oh, this is the guy, this is the guy, this is the guy. Over the next two seasons, they had a run where quarterbacks from those 2 years, one was then starting at South Alabama after starting at Utah. One was sitting the bench at James Madison. Another was playing wide receiver at Southeast Louisiana. One was playing wide receiver for the Los Angeles Rams. Another was playing center field for the New York Mets single A team. One was actually still playing quarterback at South Carolina, and that was Perry Orth. And I can promise you there was never, ever any plan for Perry Orth to be as important or play as often as he did. He just kind of hung around and didn't switch sports or schools or quit or whatever. And so that's when it started. I was like, name after name, and it just – Ryan Helinski, I was like, that's the guy. And about 3 weeks later, I was like, he looks kind of heavy-footed and unathletic. It just never turned into what it was supposed to, even with Spencer Rattler. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about something else, and I was like, we found out the one thing I don't want to find out. I want my guy to start for 2 years, and I never find out if he's tough. Spencer Rattler, I found out it was confirmed way too much last year how tough he was, and it was a good enough story, and he was an overachieving quarterback probably last year, but it still wasn't necessarily great play, but he was talented and tough and a lot of those other things you have to have. Folks, he's to the NFL draft in probably day three, maybe early day three. But that's the next story in the NFL. On campus there, Lenora Sellers, they are truly – like it's a confident sort of, no, I'm not going to talk you into this. I'm not going to say anything, but like we know what we have. They really do like him on campus in the program. The issue is it's been a decade of stories, and, yeah, it didn't turn out the way you were pitching it. So I think for most of the rest of us, we're going to wait on the actual results.
Chuck Oliver's College Football Today, presented by Roof It Forward on the College Football Voice of the South, The Fan.
I'll remind you, after our show tonight, our Braves season preview extravaganza show with Dylan Short and Steve West. 2 hours of all the Braves stuff you're going to love.
The short, fat Dill?
Stick around tonight.
Rattle.
Even the boss, Matt Edgar's in on it. How about that? See, all the things Braves coming up at 6 on The Fan and The Fan mobile app. Speaking of the Braves, the voice of the Braves, Ben Ingram, joins us in 15 minutes. Coming up next, though, a phrase Southern football coaches used for decades is now very out of place.
The Southern girls love the pearl necklace.
Buck, come on now.
They do like jewelry, Buck. That's a good point. No, that's not it. Chuck will explain what it is next.
We only get what we give.
You've got Chuck and Chernoff on the radio on what was supposed to be Braves season opener eve. Said baseball's dumb. Philadelphia weather's dumb. Somehow it's John Kincaid's fault. Just makes me feel better to blame him. The Braves will open now on Friday at 3:05. Same pitching matchup, same radio station, same 680 The Fan mobile app. Everything that you were expecting Thursday will happen Friday. So we will be here tomorrow, and then we won't be here Friday. Then we won't be here Monday. We won't be here Wednesday.
Oh, will you stop?
I don't know. I don't like it. I've told management, if you need me in another area, do you want me to be a part of the locker room tomorrow morning? I'd love to sit in.
They need help with post-game sound.
You want me to do post-game? I'll go get post-game. Listen, the more you can do, Cullen Madden. That's producer Cullen, for those of you who didn't know. I'm willing to do that. You want me to sit in with Buck? I'd love to sit in with Buck tomorrow. Buck Belue Show, 10 to 11. Or Cellini and Domino. I want to be a part of the radio station, so I don't want a day off. I'm a worker bee. Like to get my hands dirty. Kind of how I was built. Built my reputation that way. Jack of all trades. You're going to let me keep going, aren't you?
He's a pack mule. Selfless. The example for all.
The 4 o'clock hour is presented by Entry Point Doors and Windows. Atlanta's local expert for entry doors and windows. They're Atlanta's best for a reason. Go to entrypointatlanta.com for a free estimate. The voice of the Braves. Ben Ingram is scheduled to join us in 5 minutes.
He's a beast, isn't he?
He is. We'll see if he shows up. I mean, I hope. I love promoting Ben. I've heard some McAlpin rumors that he has not been good at living up to appearances.
Oh,
lately.
That's hilarious.
I know. See if Ben joins us in five. But first, there's a phrase Southern football coaches have used for decades that Chuck says is now very out of place.
Yeah, that phrase is not on my field. And it was not an up north thing. You can forever, if you watched, you know, games on Saturday or Friday nights or whenever they would play, you would see like Division I, Power 5 fields with like the lacrosse stripes still painted on it. And I'm like, you're playing a conference game, you know, but it was the Northeast. I didn't care. In the South, it could be high school, it could be youth league. Hey, we won't have a soccer game, not on my field. And that has been the response for decades. And if you don't believe me, I'm not just talking about like the soccer coach at Parkview wants to practice on the big field before the tournament. And no, not on. I'll give you a specific example. The Carolina Panthers, when they were going to crack the champagne bottle back in 1995, I guess, their stadium wasn't ready. Mm-hmm. And so they're ready to have their inauguration season, and we're going to get out there. And they were almost a playoff team. In fact, I think maybe they went the second year. But they didn't have a stadium. So
they played at Clemson, right?
They went to South Carolina first and said, hi, we have 8 home games. And it will be international exposure and huge dollars for the economy and blah, 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 NFL freaking game. South Carolina football said, no, not on our field. Clemson took it. They were, I guess, in an era of enlightenment. They had U2. Do you remember there was a Billy Joel, Elton John piano thing going?
I went to that, yeah.
Okay, well, where did you go to it? Probably Georgia Dome?
I saw it at State Farm, or what it was before that. It used to be Phillips Arena.
Okay. They did it at Clemson in like the big stadium. And so Clemson said, yeah, we'll take the Carolina Panthers. So if you go back and look at the history of the Carolina Panthers, their first season, they played their home schedule in Clemson. The Falcons played up there.
They did.
They lost to them up there in December of their first season. So, yeah, 53 millionaires come live locally for half a year. And Clemson said, yes, after South Carolina was like, we're old school, not on our field. That has changed. If you haven't seen this, there's a European Premier League soccer tour that's going on. It's coming this summer.
Mm-hmm. It and is, indeed.
In particular, mm-hmm. there is a Red Rivalries subset that's like the three biggest, Arsenal, Man U, and Liverpool. They pick three cities. They pick Los Angeles, Philadelphia, and Columbia, South Carolina. Population 137,000. They sold out 78,000 tickets in 3 hours. So whether it's Taylor Swift, who played at Death Valley, and she wore her purple and gold sparkly, and everybody lost their mind, whether it's Man U and Liverpool at Williams-Brice, do you know what goes on sale Saturday for Kyle Field, George Strait? Now, the problem is it goes on Saturday to the public. This past Friday, they had five staggered American Express rollouts over like 12 hours. Then they had George Strait Fan Club. Then today they have the students and faculty. So there's not going to be tickets left. Like 98,000 people at Kyle Field for George Strait, whereas as recently as 10 years ago, whoever the football coach at Kyle Field is like, not on my field. This is the next huge, huge area of revenue. Georgia has done it some. Georgia Tech has been somewhat sort of regular-ish with it.
They had the Rolling Stones play Bobby Dodd and a few others throughout the year, sure.
But in Clemson right now, they've gone the other way. They're exploring it. They need to stop that Hamlet routine. Like, we think about the portal, but we don't really do it. We think about some other events, but we don't really do it. This is it, man. You have this giant, huge facility that takes up all this space, and it's reserved for seven Saturdays only. The other 358 days, do not go near it.
It's easy revenue that for years, I don't know, maybe it was.
Touch it, not on my field.
There's a chance the coaches did have the power, but anymore, it doesn't matter what you think. Now, I'll apply this to professional stadiums because it's funnier. Heinz Field, where the Steelers play, they're notorious for having Pittsburgh college football on Saturday and high school on Friday night just tear up their field. That's why field turf, like back in the day, I feel like I need Chuck's campfire music. When Atlanta Fulton County Stadium would host monster truck stuff.
The Super Bowl of motocross, that was a real thing.
That's a real thing.
At the goalpost jump.
And then there would be a Falcon game on Sunday. Or they would play some version of professional soccer sometimes outside at Atlanta Fulton County Stadium.
They would have Georgia Championship Wrestling or a Beach Boys concert.
Which would have, or the Ultimate Oldies Fox 97
yeah, y'all
concert.
Yeah, come on down here.
Right? But now, see, Arthur's smart. Not only did Arthur say, I need to get a new stadium, not because I need a new stadium, because I want a new stadium and I want to control the revenue in the stadium. Instead, the Georgia World Congress Center used to control the dome. So now when Arthur's like, yeah, here's what I'm charging to the GHSA, and they're like, it's too much. Arthur's like, well, I got my price, because if you're not going to get the building that night, I do have plenty of concerts. I've got Atlanta United. I've got plenty of others, the Billy Graham. I can do whatever I want in my building, and I don't have to worry about the field. Why? It's that field turf. I can do whatever I want. For how many events I'm going to have in there beyond the 8-9 Falcon games and beyond the Atlanta United games.
Think of the absurdity of what Matt just said. There was a building that sat about 70 couple thousand, and it had a field, like everything you needed. Somehow we got convinced that we needed an exact replica of that, like 200 yards up the sidewalk, and like we all fell for that.
Well, if we fell for it, it didn't matter what we thought. He was getting it. Public money was going to help. Arthur was going to get his new stadium, and he was going to control all the rev. And
that's the key.
I understand his want.
We need a new stadium just up the sidewalk, basically the same place except it's a new one and it's mine.
Yeah, Georgia Dome, it's not about what was good enough and what wasn't.
Ew.
Georgia Dome was fine. Mercedes-Benz is beautiful.
Folks,
it's awesome, but it wasn't a want or anything. It wasn't a need. It was a want for Arthur. I want to control
more
of the dollars.
It's all a cash grab. The Super Bowl still occasionally goes to a place they can't swear the lights will stay on. All right? The Chiefs just won a Super Bowl. Again, have you ever been to Arrowhead Stadium? It's not the nicest, newest place. It really isn't.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. Yeah. All right, let's switch gears. This was supposed to be Braves opening day eve, but dumb Philadelphia and dumb weather and dumb baseball has now pushed it to Friday at 3:05. But it's not going to stop us from dominating with Ben Ingram and Joe Simpson on the call throughout the baseball season. And the voice of the Braves, Ben Ingram, is kind enough to join us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. Ben, what are you going to do now with your day off tomorrow?
I think that means that dinner can go a lot deeper into the night tonight than originally planned.
Okay, that's a good call. I like that.
That's probably what we're going to do.
Because you as a professional, had there been a game at 3:05, would have been tucked into your bed somewhere around 8:30 tonight.
Maybe 10 o'clock, but yeah.
Okay.
Well,
I wanted to give you the benefit of the doubt, but you want to push it to 10. Okay, so let's talk a couple of baseball things that I'm curious about. Ben, for a team that has so much salted away what the Braves have at the top of the rotation, and we know the lineup, I am curious, and it's a good problem. When we go through the beginning of this season and the Braves have a 4-3 lead going into the seventh, Like, this is an embarrassment of riches, and I'm just curious what you think Snit does when he's got four lefty options in Minter, Matzik, Bummer, and Lee, righty options in Jimenez and Pierce setting up Rysell. Like, do you think he has a preference how he's going to work this early when he's got leads late in games to get to Iglesias?
I think that he does, and I'm not convinced, Matt, that it is Iglesias at the back end.
Oh.
Now, this is my speculation. Here's the thing. When it came to the moves that were made this offseason, to me, it screamed one thing, a lineup that can beat the Phillies, a rotation and a bullpen that can beat the Phillies, and that means the left-handed bats of the Phillies. That's Schwarber, that's Harper, et cetera. If you get to the ninth inning and you got 1-2-3 coming up in the Phillies lineup, or 2-3-4, anywhere where Harper is in there. I don't know if you've ever seen Harper's numbers versus Iglesias.
It's video games.
I think it's 6-for-9 with 4 home runs career. So if you're thinking about other lefty options, I think that's the team that you use it on, whether that's Matzik, whether that's Minter. He's got options there. So to me, it's not just about, okay, Iglesias is my rock-solid guy in the ninth inning. And I may be wrong on this. This is not from Snit or anything like that, but I'm just kind of reading the room on what the Braves got in the offseason and also the team that in my opinion, is their biggest hurdle to cross to get to where they want to get, and that's the Phillies. So it wouldn't shock me at all if at some point this season, it might not be this weekend, but some other time later in the year, especially when the games are even bigger, where you say, you know what, it's a one-run lead in the ninth inning. You've got 2-3-4 coming up or 1-2-3 coming up. There's a couple of big left-handed powerful bats in there. How about Matzik versus those guys? How about Minter versus those guys or Aaron Bummer? Mm-hmm. To me, I just like the fact that you have some left-handed options against their left-handed bats, and you might see them deviate away from what they would normally do just for a situation like that.
So if you just look at the numbers, Jared Kelenic, it's not overstated. He was not very productive in spring, depending on how much you care. And if it's Ronald Acuna, maybe you don't. But I heard him asked probably 10 times before there was a pitch thrown, you can be a lot more relaxed now, so much less pressure. You don't even have to just go play left field. And then all of a sudden he's feeling pressure and not producing. Tell me what maybe isn't reflective in what we just kept hearing about the daily 0-for-2 or 1-for-4 or whatever it was.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think for the first probably 20 games of spring training or so, 15 to 20 games, everything that you're hearing about Jared was completely accurate. Lots of offers, lots of ground outs to second base, strikeouts, that kind of thing. The guy that I saw for about the last 7-8 days is what I hope to see in the regular season. He squared up a bunch of balls. That was great to see where he was not doing that and really about the first 20 games of spring training. I thought that where he finished was significantly better than where he started. And to me, it all started with one AB where there was a runner at second base and he had a line drive to right field that was caught. He moved a runner over. I don't know if it was just the fact that he felt productive. That run eventually scored and it ended up being a big inning. And maybe he just thought, okay, finally I did something productive. Maybe it wasn't a double off the wall or maybe it wasn't a home run, but I did something productive. Next AB, he goes up there and he has a 12-pitch at bat. He had a 3-2 count against a tough pitcher, fouled off a bunch of pitches, and then delivered a line drive right up the middle. And from that game on, I started to see a lot more of what you hope to see rather than what we certainly didn't want to see for the first 20 games. Then he had a home run the other day in the final game of spring training, and it was just absolutely clobbered, 450-foot shot to straightaway center field to the right of the batter's eye. So those are the things that I saw. And if you're looking for a trajectory for a player through spring training, while it wasn't pretty for the first 2.5-3 weeks, it trajected in the right direction. And hopefully batting ninth with Ronald right behind him, he's going to see a lot more fastballs and he can find ways to work some counts, get on base, and be there for Ronald. That's the hope, and I like the way that he finished spring training.
Ben Ingram, the voice of the Braves, with Chuck and Chernoff on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. Remember, Ben and Joel have the call starting Friday at 3:05 in the opener against the Phillies. I want to follow up on that, Ben, because I saw some pretty good video, and not being down there, it's just speculation when I read a box score about Jared and everybody's overreacting. But it looks pretty obvious that the Braves made some drastic changes to some of his hand placement, to some of the stuff with his setup, his load. And that does take time to get comfortable with it. And what you just said, maybe he found some comfort at the end of spring, which leads me to the question. The Braves have always had a long leash with guys trying to get comfortable, young guys, guys who have made their way to this team. How long do you think the leash is with Kelenic?
Well, I think it's a little bit longer now simply because you got Adam Duvall. I think that's a pretty good safety net, and you kind of changed the plan a little bit to where, hey, Jared Kelnick's going to be our everyday left fielder, to now you can platoon every single day if you'd like. And I think that gives you a little bit more time. Not that you want to send Duvall out there a bunch of right-handers, but at the same time, it gives you an opportunity to play whichever guy you want, hot or hand, match up for that day, and I think that makes the leash a little bit longer. It's a good point that you bring up, Matt, about him changing his hands. It's similar to what they did with Matt Olson. It's similar to what they did to Ronald Acuna. That doesn't just happen overnight. And I thought when Kelly Johnson was on our broadcast on one of the spring training games, he gave a really good story about a time when he was in Arizona and Luis Gonzalez came in, told Kirk Gibson at the beginning of spring training, hey, I'm changing some things with my swing. It's going to take me a second. And KJ said for the first 2-3 weeks of spring training, it looked bad. And everybody's wondering, what are you doing? Well, he ended up having a huge year that year, and it took a second to get used to that adjustment, get used to the new mechanics. And that's probably where Jared is right now. It's not anything that you dive into one day and all of a sudden you get the results immediately. So I think that was part of it as well. And I think to answer that question, his leash should be a little bit longer knowing that you got Duvall there and he can go in there against left-handed pitchers and be a power threat.
So anybody, young kid, a little further down the food chain, anybody deeper on the 40, man, that you could see? He's not going to make the roster and it was never, ever going to happen this year, probably out of spring, but you look at and go ball player, like you can just see it.
Yeah, I think pitching is where it really stands out. I mean, we got to see A.J. Smith-Shawver last year, and I love the strides that he made from last season to this season. I think that in the next 2-3 years, he's going to be an ace-type pitcher in this league. It's really hard not to fall in love with Hurston Waldrop and his stuff. His split is absolutely disgusting. If he's able to get ahead in counts and dominate with a fastball, he's going to be a power pitcher in this league. He just needs a little bit more time in the minor leagues. I imagine we could see him at some point. Another name down the road as far as position players go, I like the catcher Drake Baldwin a lot. I think he's a really intriguing catcher who could, to me, could grow into his body and be a power hitter in the big leagues. And then Nacho Alvarez is an interesting piece. He's going to be the starting shortstop most likely at Double-A this year. He was an A-ball last season. Big kid. Not sure if he's going to be a shortstop in the big leagues one day or not. He could be more along the lines of a third baseman. But I think he's got a lot of potential as well. So that's kind of down the road a little bit for those last two. But I think for the pitchers, those guys are really close. And I know we'll see A.J. this year. And as far as Waldrop goes, I think he's certainly a guy we could see this season.
Ben, let's finish up by talking about Chris Sale. And I'm like tempering my own expectations because, gosh, I'm hard-pressed to think guys get healthier as they get older. And I know he's had some weird injuries, so maybe. But watching him this spring, man, the ball comes out of his hand and it just pops. I mean, he's wearing the 51, so you get a little Randy Johnson in your mind of how filthy sometimes the stuff looks. If he can stay healthy, and that's a huge if. Man, he looks like a piece to the puzzle at the third spot in this rotation that is just frightening good.
It does. And here's how good he has been, and here's how different he is. I think conventional wisdom would tell you with your top three starters with Freed and Strider and Sale, you're going to start with Freed, then go Strider, and then Sale, so you can split up your lefties. But you're not doing that. Strider's going to be your number one pitcher. So you're thinking, okay, back-to-back lefties. Here's the thing. Chris Sale is not like anybody else. So I don't think you really worry about running him out there after another lefty. I don't think it's a similar look with him and anybody, whether they're lefties or righties. I think he's that funky. I think he's that unique, and he gets the swing and miss stuff. It's a guy who's had a 300 strikeout season, strikeouts for 9, best all-time in Major League Baseball. His numbers are through the roof, and he gives you so much swing and miss stuff to a stat that's already swing and miss. Not only do I expect the Braves to lead the National League in strikeouts as a unit, I think they dominate. I think there's a giant gap between first and second with the swing and miss stuff that this rotation has. And Chris Sale is a huge part of that. So long as he's healthy, the numbers will be there. My biggest concern is watching, and I don't have an answer to this, but just watching how Snit and Cranny manage his load throughout the season. Not saying he can't go out there every 5 days. He can certainly go out there and do that. But you want him to be that guy in October. Yep. And I think that's going to be interesting when they say, okay, let's skip a start here. Let's skip a start there. We've got so many different guys we can bring up and make a spot start here or there. And seeing how they manage that, not just with him, but also with Charlie, I think that'll be fascinating. And if they can load it the right way, you get those guys as fresh as they possibly could be once you get to October. And that's when you need them to be the difference makers that they can be.
It's way more difficult than most of the Braves make it look to hit a baseball. But Michael Harris in particular, is there anything you see? I think that guy is a super, super, superstar in the making. Anything anything you see that's is not quite as polished yet, but tell me what you think is ahead for him.
For Michael, to me, he's like Spencer from the standpoint of he's accomplished so much at such a young age. I think it's easy to forget how old Spencer is. I mean, he's only 25 years old. It's the same thing for Michael. Just turned 24. He's won a Rookie of the Year. He's been a guy who's been close to a 300 hitter the last 2 years. And I see him getting better and better. To me, the next step for him is exactly what he verbalized. He did a great job verbalizing his goals. He wants to be a Gold Glover. He can go out there and swipe 30 bags. He can hit 30 home runs, which would be amazing to think about having two 30-30 guys on one team, with Ronald being 40-70 last year and whatever Michael could do this season. That's amazing. And to see him hitting higher in the order, I think we'll see a lot more of that. We've seen him bat ninth pretty much his entire career. We got to see him a lot batting sixth in the last week or so of spring training. So that, to me, seems like the place for him. And it's more a confidence thing than anything else, if you ask me. He's done this for 2 years at the big leagues. He knows he can be a superstar. Doesn't matter his age. And I see him taking huge strides this season towards that superstardom numbers-wise. I just think he's that good of a ball player. We've seen it in flashes, and we've seen really good numbers. But I think we're just tapping the surface with Michael Harris.
So dinner tonight, you'll linger a little later. Tablecloth or no tablecloth wherever you're going tonight?
I think there's going to be a tablecloth. Joe is in charge of picking this place, so I'm thinking it's going to be pretty high end. So I mean, you wear the shiny boots tonight rather than the dirty boots.
So nice wine list, in other words.
Yes, exactly.
All right.
Sleeves and a collar.
Make sure and change that as Natalie prepared. Ben, have a great call on Friday. Enjoy the day off tomorrow, and we'll talk to you down the road, my friend.
Thanks, fellas. Appreciate
There's
it.
There's the voice of the Braves, Ben Ingram, joining us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. He did touch on one thing about the Braves adding lefties with the Phillies in mind, but I also think it's the Dodgers in mind. So it's, the Phillies make obvious sense, but they have Freddie. They've got Max Muncy. They added that guy. What's his name? Shohei the Gambler. So there are a couple of teams that you think, and I would even add, if you think Arizona's real, you're going to see Corbin Carroll. Add more lefties. It makes perfect sense.
Tell me this doesn't happen. Like, somebody either gets suspended or fired around Major League Baseball. They start playing Kenny Rogers, Otani's first.
There's a chance that happens.
No, you can't do that.
Well, you should do that. I mean, why wouldn't you? If Matthew Kaminsky over here at Truist Park
is playing the Gambler.
If you're not doing it, you're probably doing something wrong. And it shouldn't be obvious until you go, oh, okay, now I get it. All right, we're going to get a pit stop here from the doctor of the draft, as we count down to the NFL draft. Doc McChuckins coming up around the corner. What's he got for us?
A particular day three pick may net the Falcons a good backup and an improved starter.
Long tease.
It was in the pause. Like,
dramatic. Yeah, sure. I like it. We'll find out what it means next. Chuck and Chernoff are on the Fan. Chuck, remind me, we've got a beef that we've got to investigate. Apparently, Carlos Medina and Justin Hanover have major beef.
I was party to that last night.
It was over the lines that Hanover shared with us in our Chuck and Chernoff vault. Los had given some original lines. Hanover had changed them.
I speak truth. Don't hate the player. I speak truth.
There's no hating. I had to field a call from Los last night, some text messages.
I got a picture included in one of the text messages.
He sent his lines originally. So we got to solve this at some point.
I don't need to apologize, do I?
I don't know. It's up to you. All I know is
I don't think I did anything wrong, and we'll hug it out one day.
No, you need to, like, send an edible bouquet or something.
His lines being changed are one thing. I think it was your tone and sort of disrespectful in the way you did it.
I'll think about it. Something. Possibly I'll apologize. Let me think about it.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Hanover. Hand under. It's the newest game we play around here when Los decides, he's going to pass off his responsibilities to Justin Hanover. Chuck and Chernoff are with you till 6. Then you're going to get the Braves 2-hour season preview extravaganza with Dylan Short and Steve West.
Oh, is Dylan's suspension over?
I guess he's now free and able to come back on the radio. You'll hear him tonight at 6. And as we count down throughout the NCAA tournament, we get a Bucks, very special one shining moment after a visit from the doc.
Dr. McChuckins.
Time for your checkup.
It's okay if you giggle.
Ha ha ha.
This will only tickle a little. Time for your checkup. Time for your checkup.
Told you a particular day three pick, and it may be fourth round, fifth round maybe. And if you get a good backup, that's all right, at least to start with. You might get an improved starter, and I mean right away. Cedric Van Pran Granger. He is tougher than the other guy. And what Saturday or what's not? What are you talking about? Almost no matter who the other guy is. That is a big part of how he won so much every time in Athens. I know Sundays are even tougher for him, but he was in the SEC and is a legit tough guy. But the sort of tough and I'll fight you and let's make this a brawl, that is all sort of the mantra of Kirby and the coaches over there. And so Cedric has all that, I mean, in buckets. And he's good physically and smart and leader and all you want. And he gets grimy and gritty, like all those really good things you like from an offensive lineman, particularly interior, especially at center. So you will get at least a good backup with a day three, like kind of into day three, deep into day three pick, potentially. At least a good backup. And Matthew, I believe you likely will also get an improved Drew Dahlman. Because when Van Pran shows up, he's not real good at watching other people play. That's not really his personality, and it shows. Drew Dahlman will know even more than every other August and every other NFL camp, like every other NFL player, that my job's in young kid they brought in to push me. Brian Finneran talked about it for years. They brought in then, you know, whatever. So it's real. It'll be even more real for Drew Dahlman in Flowery Branch this year because there's a new draft pick there to rip his game check away. And Drew Dahlman, he didn't have a pension yet. All right, he's still trying to earn money. And if you want personal experience with this, Alex Mack was old, okay? And he saw the Falcons spend a third-round pick on Matt Hennessy. The next season, Hennessy had the job. Hennessy watched them then spend a fourth-round pick on Dahlman. The next season, Dahlman took the job. Bergeron last year. Folks, when they spend a second-round pick on a guy who plays like you're a guard and they spend a second-round pick on that, you're done, okay? They'll spend a second-round pick on a guard to watch. So if they spend a third- or fourth-round pick on an interior lineman, especially Cedric Van Pran, and given his background, I think you will get an extra motivated Drew Dahlman because he's actually been part of this exact same thing already.
Time for your checkup. Before we get Buck in here, did you catch Kim Mulkey, LSU women's basketball coach, her rant the other day?
Upset about the Washington Post.
So for those who don't know, she claimed a reporter has been hounding her for a couple of years to try to get her to give some quotes about what she thinks is going to be a hit piece on her. Well, then she said Tuesday before the NCAA tournament began, we got a demand letter from this reporter claiming I need answers before Thursday at whatever time. And she's like, well, that's the time we tip off. And I know what he's trying to do, distract us. And we're not going to let it happen, buddy. So apparently, though, nobody knew what this was about, and all Kim Mulkey has done is brought a bunch of attention to people now asking questions about what does the Washington Post know, because there's been no story to this point. She claims she was going to hire the best defamation lawyer in America and sue the Post if they put something in there that she deemed that wasn't honest.
She did hint at part of it. Now, not what the crux of it was, but she said that I've been hearing for the past 2 years, they've been calling former players of mine saying, can you tell us bad stories about Kim?
But nobody can corroborate any of that stuff. So. She also got mad at this reporter, she claims, or a relationship with the Post, doing a hit piece on Brian Kelly. As it turned out, the piece that she's referring to wasn't even about Brian Kelly. Like, it had almost nothing to do with Brian Kelly. But what she's done, in essence, is raised eyebrows of people going, what's out there? There was no story here, and now she's like, there's a story here. So now everybody's kind of looking at it, so we'll see what becomes of it. But she is a character, to say the least.
Oh, she's a pistol.
She is indeed. All right, so is Buck, and he gives us a special one shining moment.
It's now time to see what Buck brought to the show. It's Buck's best line of the day.
One shining moment. Well, I always want to see the handshake. You can tell these guys total respect for each other.
Yeah. I mean, that was a hug of like, wow, we both just tested one another.
Yeah, you don't hug a guy like that unless you respect him.
Yeah.
Or you're attracted to him, I guess.
Inclusion. That's what really what Buck is
about.
That's
what Buck is about. You can hear the Buck.
Big arms. You can hear the big arms.
Uh-huh. You can hear the Buck Ballou Show weekday mornings 10 to 11 here on The Fan as we relive some of Buck's most shining of moments during the NCAA tournament. Coming up, Braves fans are going to suffer due to baseball's lack of common sense.
I don't really like baseball.
I don't blame you today. Plus, Raheem Morris confirmed water is indeed wet with this admission about his team.
The frick does all that matter?
And we'll find out next.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch.
With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right. You can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.